Another way to look at this koan of no hot, no cold is looking at the inner emotional state that we have in any given moment. And many of us turn to meditation practices in order to escape our emotional landscape, particularly extreme emotions like anger and anxiety. And there are myriads of tools within the Buddhist tradition for learning to work with our emotions in a skillful way. But I'll tell you, whether we've been practicing for just a few days or for several decades, it doesn't get easier to work with emotions. And I'll just give you an example while I was here in Haiti of something that just happened 2 days ago. As I record this recording, I was with my son, 2-year-old son Malcolm, at a pool. And first of all, it's rare to find a pool here in Haiti. We went to a hotel, and there was a pool there, and we invited our friends that have been with us from Port-au-Prince for the past week to come with us and to enjoy swimming in the pool. And all this time, my wife was at work, and so I was in charge of our son. And we were having a good time in the pool. But I'll tell you, I was a little bit concerned about the whole event of going out and finding a pool in the first place. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm not sure I'm up for going to a pool today. And she really just encouraged me to do it, not just for my sake, but for the sake of the other kids that were here. So I did. I decided to do it. But we needed a driver. We needed somebody to take us there. So we found somebody from the place that she worked that would take us. And we said 10 o'clock that we would like to leave. Well, in Haiti, as I've experienced many times before, nothing happens at the time that you want it to. And we didn't actually leave until an hour and a half after 10 o'clock, which already kind of starts me off internal temperatures rising. I was starting to feel that internal heat coming on, but I went with it. That okay, it's annoying, it's frustrating. I was feeling these things in my body. And I wasn't just feeling it for myself, though. I was also feeling it for my son, because I knew he has a limited time span for certain things, and he's got a schedule and a nap time that I try to keep into account. Just makes things go smoother for us. So we got to the pool, and he had a good time swimming in there for maybe about a half an hour, and then he wanted to get out. He was getting tired, and he wanted to get something to eat and then go home. So I ordered spaghetti, thinking that it would take maybe 15, 20 minutes at most before the spaghetti to come. And it took over an hour to have the spaghetti come to us. And this kind of just was... ratcheted up the internal temperatures much more as I was waiting for the spaghetti, and my son's tired and hungry, wanting to go home. Third thing that happened was that the driver that was to take us said he would stay around for when we needed to, when Malcolm and I would need to leave. He would stick around and take us home. And as it turns out, Malcolm is ready to leave, and I'm ready to leave. The spaghetti still hadn't arrived by that time, so I thought, okay, we'll just go home. The driver is no longer there to be found. He left. And so, again, my internal temperatures ratcheted up quite a bit more, and I have nobody really to talk to about this except for my wife. So my wife's work finally ended. She was able to come out and meet us at the pool. And actually, I thought she was going to be... I suggested she not come to the pool. So when I saw her there, another element of surprise, all of these elements coming together at one time, like for a perfect storm. And I lost it. I blew up. I was so angry. I could. The spaghetti arrived just as I was getting ready to leave. And I was like, no, I'm not going to, I'm not, I couldn't even, I wasn't even hungry to eat it. And so this is an example. This is like a bad example of what not to do or what to be careful of. It's an example of, for myself, to really be careful about how expectations lead us to destructive ways of being. Leaving the plate of spaghetti was a huge cultural no-no, and the Haitians that I was with were really super surprised that I would do that. Of course, it was packaged up and sent home with some other folks, and it was eaten. But just the fact that somebody would pay for a meal and not eat it here, when food is scarce and people are not guaranteed three meals or even two meals a day, is really unheard of. Yet me, as an American with my sense of privilege and thinking that things should happen in a certain time frame, wasn't able to get out of a very myopic view in that moment. And I'm sure you can relate to this on to some level. We all move into spaces of myopia where our vision is just so constricted. And this is where we have to come back to our practice. We have to come back and notice, like, what are our expectations? What are we trying to look for? You know, the Dharma, the base, the foundation of Dharma practice is that we have everything we need. We are already who we need to be. There's nothing that we're lacking. And this is, of course, speaking on a mainly from a spiritual level, there's nothing lacking in us. In us, speaking from the ultimate dimension, there's nothing lacking. This doesn't mean we don't need food or shelter and those kinds of things. But from a spiritual perspective, we lack nothing. And once I was able to reconnect with that, lacking nothing, that I'm okay as I am, there's nothing special that I need to know or do or have, I was able to return to myself. The temperature levels decreased. This was also aided by the fact that I was able to talk about how I was feeling with my wife. And it also humanized our relationship. You know, the Haitians here are, they're watching how we are. My wife and I are with each other. And to see a couple that is never angry with each other is, it's not realistic. Anybody who's in a relationship for any length of time, we're going to get upset. And because we've made a commitment with other people, we tend to use the other person as a means to communicate our anger, and it may be directed at them, but they're almost never the cause of our anger. So when we sit, bringing it back to our sitting practice, when we sit, we just sit. We don't look for anything. We don't look to try to find some special insight. This is not insight practice. It's just sitting. We do nothing. We just sit and see and look. We see our mind the way it is. We open to it. And that itself is enough.